Hello and welcome back to, or if you're listening for the first time, welcome to Epicenter, and thank you so much for listening. If you've been following along this season, you'll know that we've been diving into comorbidities and epilepsy, conditions that often occur alongside it, shaping daily life in ways that sometimes go unnoticed. In our last episode, we talked about anxiety and epilepsy, how it can be both the cause and consequence of seizures, the way it impacts quality of life, and why it's so important to recognize it early. Today, we're shifting gears into the first two episodes focused on cognitive and developmental disorders. These are conditions that affect how people think, learn, and process information, and they can deeply influence academic performance, work life, and social relationships. The first one we're going to explore is ADHD, Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, specifically how it shows up in people with epilepsy. We'll talk about what ADHD actually is, how it tends to look in epilepsy compared to the general population, how common it is, what treatment options are available, and where the research is still lacking. So let's get into it. ADHD is a neurodevelopmental disorder, meaning it begins in childhood even if it isn't diagnosed until later. That's defined by a persistent pattern of inattention and or hyperactivity impulsivity. These aren't just personality quirks or occasional lapses in focus. They're symptoms that significantly interfere with a person's functioning, whether in school, work, or everyday tasks. The DSM-5 outlines three main presentations: inattentive, hyperactive impulse, and combined type. Inattentive ADHD might look like trouble sustaining focus, losing track of details, or struggling to organize tasks. Hyperactive impulse ADHD often involves fidgeting, interrupting, or difficulty staying seated when expected. Combined type includes both sets of symptoms. In the general population, ADHD affects about 5 to 8% of children worldwide, and roughly 3% of adults, though the exact numbers can vary based on how it's diagnosed and in what country. But in people with epilepsy, the numbers look very different, and the presentation often does too. In people with epilepsy, especially children, the inattentive presentation is by far the most common. Instead of overt hyperactivity, you're more likely to see distractibility, slower processing speed, and trouble holding information and working memory. A teacher might notice that a student zones out mid-instruction, or a parent might see that their child takes longer to complete tasks, even when they know the material. One important caveat: certain seizure types, like absent seizures or focal impaired awareness seizures, can mimic inattentive behavior. A child might appear to be daydreaming when, in reality, they're experiencing brief seizure episodes. This makes it critical to involve neurologists in the diagnostic process and, in many cases, confirm with the EEG. Mislabeling seizures as ADHD, or ADHD as seizure activity, can lead to ineffective treatment for both. Executive function challenges are also common in epilepsy, even without ADHD. These include difficulties with planning, organizing, and inhibiting impulses, and when ADHD is present, those issues can compound. Anti-seizure medications can add another layer. Some may slow word finding or attention, while others are more neutral in their cognitive side effect profile. Because of those overlapping factors, organizations like the International League Against Epilepsy recommend screening for ADHD in every child with epilepsy starting around age 6, repeating yearly, and after any medication changes. In the general population, combined type ADHD is often most common. In epilepsy, the inattentive presentation dominates. That difference isn't just academic, it changes how ADHD is recognized. Instead of the classic stereotype of the hyperactive kid who can't sit still, ADHD in epilepsy might look quieter. The student who seems dreamy, the adult who misses details or struggles to keep track of conversations. The causes of inattention can also be more complex. In the general population, ADHD is linked to differences in brain networks related to attention and impulse control. In epilepsy, those same networks can be disrupted not just by ADHD itself, but seizure activity between seizures, called interictal discharges, and by medication effects. That means treatment needs to consider both conditions in tandem, rather than treating them in isolation. And while ADHD in the general population is typically diagnosed based on a combination of symptom reports and behavior observations, in epilepsy, clinicians often need extra content, school records, seizure diaries, and medication histories, to tease apart what's driving the attention difficulties. ADHD is significantly more common in people with epilepsy than in the general population. Meta-analyses suggest that around 30% of children with epilepsy meet criteria for ADHD, compared to about 5 to 8% of children overall. In adults with epilepsy, the numbers are lower, around 12%, but still several times higher than the roughly 3% seen in the general adult population. These numbers can vary based on factors like seizure type, age of onset, and whether other neurological conditions are present. But the takeaway is consistent. ADHD is not just an occasional co-occurrence in epilepsy. It's a common comorbidity that deserves routine screening and targeted management. The good news is that first-line ADHD treatments, especially stimulant medications, are generally safe for people with well-controlled epilepsy. Historically, there was a concern that stimulants might increase seizure frequency, but large studies and clinical reviews have found no overall increase in seizure risk when the medications are used appropriately and monitored closely. For those who don't tolerate stimulants or prefer a non-stimulant option, atomoxetine is a common alternative. Adjusting anti-seizure medications can also improve attention if side effects are contributing, switching from a more sedating drug to one with a cleaner cognitive profile that can make a noticeable difference. Non-medication strategies are equally important. Behavioral therapy, executive function coaching, and school accommodations like extended time on tests or reduced distraction environments can help bridge the gap. Treating related issues like anxiety, depression, or sleep problems often improves ADHD symptoms as well. While our understanding of ADHD and epilepsy has grown, there are still big gaps. Large, randomized controlled trials testing ADHD medications, specifically in epilepsy populations, are rare, especially in adults. We also don't have enough long-term studies comparing medication alone versus combined medication and behavioral approaches in this group. Screening tools validated for epilepsy are still limited, and many clinics don't have standardized workflows for routine ADHD checks. We also need more research into how seizure type, interictal discharges, and specific medications interact with ADHD symptoms over time. ADHD and epilepsy is more than just an overlap of two diagnoses. It's a complex interaction between seizure activity, medication effects, and neurodevelopmental differences. Recognizing the inattentive heavy presentation, screening consistently, and tailoring treatment to the individual can make a significant difference in the quality of life. In our next episode, we'll wrap up this mini-series on cognitive and developmental disorders with a focus on autism spectrum disorder and epilepsy, another condition with unique patterns and challenges for when it co-occurs with seizures. Thanks again for listening to Epicenter. If you found today's episode helpful, please share it with someone who might benefit, and I'll see you next time.